Good morning, church. It's good to see you today. We're glad that you are here. I'm glad that you are here. The sun is still shining. And just in case anybody needs that sort of thing, the two kittens outside are looking for a good home. So if you need to take them with you, if you've got some mice or you've got some children that need a couple of friendly kittens, throw them in the back of your car when you leave. In fact, if you open the door, I'll throw them in the back of your car for you. So just let me know. That's right. In fact, if you leave your car door open too long, I may just throw them in there anyway. We are glad that you were here. I wanted to open this morning from Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. As we prepare our hearts and minds to worship God, the Apostle Paul gives us words that remind us just who he is and what he has done for us. And it's always good to be reminded who God is. Who do we serve? Who do we form our lives in the shape of? It's always good to hear the blessings and the love of God, all the wonderful gifts that he has provided for us. Because it is in God's love and God's blessings and God's gifts that we find our own identity. And so in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Blessed be our God and Father. He's given us every spiritual blessing available and poured those all out upon us. He has provided for us forgiveness of sins and given us wisdom for his eternal plan to bring things of heaven and things of earth, things where he is and things where we are, and bring those things together. So it is with those promises, it is with that reality, it is with that hope that we sing, that we pray, that we observe, that we commune. So let's go to our Father in prayer and thank him for these wonderful gifts. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for reminding our hearts who you are. We thank you for bringing us together in your name. We thank you, Father, for forgiveness of our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the eternal promise and purpose of making us righteous, of giving us your holiness, so that we may live each day preparing for eternity, that we may live each day preparing for that day when you reunite your space and our space. Father, we ask today that you increase our faith, that as those who have received the resurrection of Christ. Father, as those who have been made alive in your Son, that we will live and walk and share the good news every day of what you have done for us and what you are going to do. We pray this morning that you receive our worship well. We pray that it is a fragrant aroma before your holy throne. We ask, Father, that you fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may understand your purposes, your word, that we may have the strength and the faith to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and live our lives for your glory. We thank you, Father, for joining us today in the communion of our Lord. We thank you, Father, for reminding us for the price that was paid for our benefit. We thank you, Father, for all of those spiritual blessings that you have lavished upon us. And we pray, Father, that we will keep our eyes open so that we will lavish blessings upon others. May you be glorified in your church. May you be glorified in our lives. May you be glorified in earthly kingdoms, just as you are in your eternal kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Number 77. If you're not feeling old enough already, by a coincidence of the calendar, in August 23rd, 1970, 50 years ago today, I was baptized right back there. So I haven't moved very far in the last 50 years, have I? There were some people here that were here that day too, as well. Some of you, anyway. You haven't moved very far either in 50 years. Number 77. Do me so. Father, we love you.
Glorify thy name in all the earth.
777. And since this is our prayer, let's end with the Amen, number 777.
Father, hear the prayer we offer, nor for ease that prayer shall be, but for strength that we not forever by still waters would we idly quiet stay, but would smite the living fountain from the rocks along our way. Be our strength in hours of weakness. In our wanderings be our guide. Never fail your danger. Father, be thou at our side. Let our path be bright or dreary. Storm or sunshine be our share. May our souls in hope unweary make thy work our ceaseless prayer.
Number 176. Number 176.
Your only Son, no sin to hide, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty sod and to become the Lamb of God. your gift of love they crucified. They laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they named a fraud and sacrificed the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. O wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side, to be led by your staff and rod, and to be called a Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God.
Before the communion, let's sing number 337.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Alleluia, what a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Alleluia, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement, can it be? Alleluia, what a Savior. Lifted up is he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Alleluia, what a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransom comes to bring. Then a new song will sing. Alleluia, what a Savior.
going to read from 1 Corinthians 11. The last few months, with all the strangeness and being told to stay home for weeks because of illness and everything that's going on, I've been reading my Bible more, and it's become more precious to me, and it affects me deeply when I see what the apostles went through, the persecutions they went through, and it cuts me. And when I read about, I was reading about the crucifixion yesterday, and Jesus said, remember him. And I think he meant all of it. His humble life, his perfect life, how he treated people, the sacrifice of his love and his blood, and ultimately giving his life, and the disgrace and how he was treated before he went to the cross. He did all that for us. We helped put him on the cross. It's a personal thing. And Jesus is serious about the Lord's Supper. In the past, I've seen people talking during the Lord's Supper and laughing and being very disrespectful. And I don't believe that's right. I think it's a serious thing that we take seriously. It's an important thing. He tells us to do it every week. Some people say it doesn't say every, but every week has a first day. It's included. I'm so thankful that we have the word of allowing God to speak to us. We just have to open it up and get into it. Starting with 17. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it's not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. Father, we are so joyful that you created the plan of salvation, that you created a way that we could come back to you. We were separated, but we didn't know it. And you allowed Jesus to be separated from you in heaven and to come here as a human and have a humble life, and the way he treated people, always with love, but he spoke the truth. We're so thankful for the Lord's Supper. We're forgetful people, and we need reminding who you are and who we are. We thank you so much for Jesus' body that was hung on the cross, the excruciating way that he allowed himself to die for us, for each of us. We're so sorrowful that he had to die for us, but we're so joyful that he did. It was the plan. It had to happen. And we're so thankful. We're so thankful for everything that Jesus went through. And we're so thankful that he established the Lord's Supper for us to remember his life, his death, and his resurrection. We are so pleased to be your children. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Father, we ask again for you to be with us as we partake of the fruit of the vine, which is Christ's blood that was shed on the cross. You said that you are the vine and we are the branches. We have to stay connected to you. We cannot wander astray. We cannot wander away. Father, we thank you for the blood and what it represents. And what it does to wash our sins away, those in the past and those that we unfortunately will do in the future. We are so joyful, eternally joyful, to have a home in heaven with you. Help us to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light. Help us to be all yours. Help us to give you all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Number 309. In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. Song, Lord, be glorified, be glorified in my song, Lord, be glorified today. Church, Lord, be glorified, be glorified in your church, Lord,
be glorified today.
Number 578. Number 578.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is a great I am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before his throne. We will worship him in righteousness. We will worship him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to him we give. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I am.
Please mark number 907. 907.
You know, when the prophet had come to David after David's sin, the prophet tells him a story about one man who didn't have much and another man who had a whole bunch. The man who had a whole bunch went to that poor man and took what little he had to serve it to his guests and his friends. The prophet looks at David and says, David, what do you think should happen to such a man? And David, of course, in righteous indignation, that man should die. I cannot believe someone would do such a horrible thing. And that next verse, 2 Samuel 12, verse 7, you're the man. He knows what he's done. He hears the entire story. And it doesn't click. It doesn't get into his heart. And so the prophet has to look right at him and say in no uncertain terms, this lesson is for you. I hate when that happens to me. When it just has to be spelled out so clearly because I am not in tune with what God is trying to say. That's painful. That's painful and embarrassing. And embarrassing because we should know better, which that's what David experienced. Knowing that story, I get frustrated sometimes in the Gospels when Jesus tells an obscure story and then won't reveal it. He tells a story and he said, well, I'll let you closest in on the secret, but they've got to figure it out. They got to work for it. You got to try. It's kind of frustrating, isn't it? Frustrating to hear Jesus say, I mean, why wouldn't he just very clearly, just like the prophet, this is it. Now, we know later in his ministry, he was clear. He was clear. But that is a tough lesson, and I hope that just being reminded of it today, that we'll just pay attention. That we will pay attention. That God doesn't have to come after us and rap us on the head, say, look, this is what I'm doing. But that we will actually hear and listen. We're going to be in Psalm 13 this morning, so as we prepare for that, let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are ready to listen. I pray that we will see things clearly. I pray that every day of our lives, we will see you more and more clearly. We thank you for sending your Son in the flesh so that we could understand you at all. We thank you for the words and the lessons of Jesus. We thank you for the love that he showed to everyone around him. We thank you for the sacrifice he made for himself. And Lord, today as we share the good news with others, sometimes it's frustrating. We confess this to you. It's frustrating to tell people, number one, that we're all sinners. And number two, something that someone else did a long time ago is the key to being saved. Father, give us faith to hold fast our confession. Blessed be your name. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Psalm 13. 17th century English philosopher Thomas Hobbes is attributed to the quote, "Knowledge is power." Now, he was a student of Bacon, and sometimes Francis Bacon gets credit for it, but Bacon never actually wrote those words. And so Hobbes comes along, and he writes, "Knowledge is power." Now, I don't expect anybody to know, or not very many people to know, Thomas Hobbes, but you may be familiar with his more popular work. Does anybody remember in the 80s and 90s the comic strip Calvin and Hobbes, the kid and his tiger? Well, the tiger represents Thomas Hobbes, the 17th century philosopher. That's kind of where he was coming from. And so, I think it's Watterson, the creator of that comic strip. He's taking John Calvin and Thomas Hobbes and kind of showing us life and our situation from these two ancient philosophers. Well, we may not read the ancient philosophers, but this seems true because we feel better when we understand things, don't we? Knowledge is power. We feel emboldened when we understand our lives or our circumstances or a situation. We've got a couple students with us, a few students with us here this morning. And show of hands, was anybody nervous on the first day of school? Yeah, not because we're scaredy cats, but you know what? Because it's new. I got new teachers, and I got new classrooms, and I got new rules I have to follow, and it's all so new, and it just kind of makes me nervous. Well, even when you grow up, that kind of happens to us too. When things change, when things are new, we're in new situations. Maybe we can relate to this better. How about when your body does something new or different, and you have to adapt your life to what's going on inside of you? It's a little scary. It's a little scary. And the unknown just makes us feel helpless. We want to know. We want to know. But you know what? The good news is you guys are going to go back to school this week. You're going to feel much more confident when you go to school tomorrow morning. You're like, oh, well, I understand this now. I can handle this because you have knowledge. Same way with us. You may be sick and you may be scared, but you get a diagnosis and a doctor that says, hey, this is exactly what we're going to do and we're going to fix this. Oh, okay. I can handle this. Knowledge is power. Well, God assures us that we don't have to know everything. We just have to trust Him. We don't have to know everything. We don't have to feel helpless in new situations. We don't have to feel afraid of dire consequences. We don't have to be scared when we don't understand everything in our lives. We just have to trust God. So David in Psalm 13, he cries out to the Lord because, well, he doesn't understand what's happening. Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul? I have sorrow in my heart all the day. How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice, because I am shaken. But I have trusted your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. So David, in a difficult situation that felt like defeat, that felt like suffering, cries out to God and says, God, how long am I going to have to be in this situation? In fact, he explains the situation, and sometimes we feel like that, even though we know that the Spirit of God is within us. Sometimes it feels like we're praying. That's empty. Sometimes it feels like we're asking for answers and there is no answer. And David said, I'm tired of the counsel of my own heart. You've been there before. I've been there before. I'm tired of an answer of just what my mind can understand, of what my own soul and my own conscience can come up with, Lord. I want to hear from you. Give me a word. How long will this situation last? How long will this suffering be a part of my life? And then he goes so far, and I probably didn't give that, enough oomph in verse 3. Consider and answer me, Lord. Answer me. Tell me. How long is this situation going to last? And how long are you going to be silent in it? I want to know. And yet the amazing thing about this song, the amazing thing about after David goes through that whole process of crying out to God, of demanding answers, he ends and he concludes in verse 5 and says, here's what I'm going to do. Because God didn't provide information about his situation. God didn't say, oh, well, it's going to last this long. It's going to last this many days. It's going to last this many seasons. God doesn't answer him. And so David says, I'm going to trust in what I know about you. When we don't have answers, we have to trust what we have. So David says, your steadfast love, your righteousness, and your salvation, I have these things. The things that you have given me, God, I have, and they will not be taken from me. So I will focus on what you have given me, and I will trust you on what you have not revealed. That's powerful. That's powerful. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus, his followers have heard some disturbing news. And they have questions. They got questions. In Matthew chapter 24, in 23:37, the last paragraph in chapter 23, he is lamenting over Jerusalem. And he's saying, oh, you are God's city. You should be trusting God. You should be understanding God. You should be faithful to God. You should be understanding what God has sent you. And yet over and over and over, God has tried to get your attention. How many prophets has he sent to you to say, this is how you live? And you killed them. You didn't listen to them. You discarded them to your own peril. You're going to fall. Well, this gets the disciples' attention. That's kind of a big deal. Jesus, who has come from God, has just said that God's city is going to fall. So they ask. Chapter 24, Jesus left the temple and was going away. When his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple, he said, you see all these, do you not? Truly, I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, why don't you tell us, when are these things going to happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah. And they will lead many astray. You'll hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed or scared. For this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. All right, so the disciples, Jesus says, this is all going to fall apart. This is all going to fall apart. And the disciples, in hearing that disturbing news, they say, well, you got to tell us when. When is this going to happen? What's going to be the sign? What's going to be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? What do we look for? And Jesus' answer is rather interesting, isn't it? Basically, he tells them, this is what it looks like to live in difficult situations. Don't be led away. Don't follow after a false Messiah. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear creep into your heart and take over. Don't let your love grow cold. Because lawlessness is going to increase. And when lawlessness increases, the hearts of many will grow cold. You'll stop loving your neighbor. You'll stop even thinking or considering the option of loving your enemy. Because people are bad. People are acting bad. People will act worse. Don't stop loving them. And the one who endures will be saved. Church, we live in a time with lots of unanswered questions, don't we? We would love to have the answers to some things. We would love to know, so when are things going to be normal again? When are things going to be put back together? How long are we going to be afraid of this virus? How long is this just going to be just out there hanging, affecting our lives, directing the way that we make decisions, even fellowship with one another? Where's our country headed? I mean, what's really going to happen with the place that we know and love and we call home? What's going to happen? We've got so many unanswered questions today. I think it's very important for us to hear Jesus say when we say when and what's it going to look like and how's it all going to be taken care of. Jesus turns it around and says, look, this is how you live with unanswered questions. You don't be afraid. You do not live in fear. You don't be led astray. You do not let go of your confession. You do not forget that it is Jesus Christ who is our Lord and Savior. You don't allow your hearts to grow cold or to become calloused or to look at other people as threats instead of people to be pitied. It's kind of hard to pity people when you're afraid of them, isn't it? It's kind of hard to feel sorry for their eternal damnation when they are wanting to cause you personal harm. Well, how am I going to feel sorry for someone that wants to hurt me? Because when someone wants to hurt me, well, I want to be defensive. I want to defend myself. I want to put up a guard, put up a wall. I want to protect myself. And Jesus says, even with unanswered questions, you've got to be faithful. Well, you know, here's the real problem. The real problem with unanswered questions is that we will spend our energy on things unknown. How much energy have you spent past 5-6 months? How much energy have you spent just wondering on questions that don't have an answer right now? I dare say it's probably a lot, isn't it? It's kind of taken over our psyche. It's kind of taken over our imagination. And all we do, how do we talk to each other? Well, I wonder when this is going to be normal. I wonder when that's going to be normal. I wonder when I can go back to this. I wonder when I can do that. You know, I sure miss this. I sure miss that. I don't like this and I don't like that. That's the problem with unanswered questions. The problem with unanswered questions is that you and I take our focus off what God has actually given us, and we waste a bunch of energy on things that we do not know right now. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, and this is fantastic. You know it. You know it well, but I want us to be reminded of it. The solution to unanswered questions is to trust in God. The solution or the alternative to you and I wasting all of our energy on things we do not know is to focus on the one that we do know. And the great thing is, and the Apostle Paul shares with us here in Ephesians chapter 3, that there are greater things than having the answers to all of our questions. You and I want all the answers. We want all the answers and we want it now because we like to feel like we're in control. We like to feel that our own lives, that we are directing our own lives, that we can say where we go and who we see and what our fellowship will look like. We want to be able to determine the direction of our lives. Of course we'll be faithful, of course we'll be good, and we won't sin, at least not those big ugly sins that if other people knew about would be very embarrassing. We'll hang on to our own little private sins. We'll hang on to the coldness of our heart. We'll hang on to our sleepless nights and our fears and our lack of faith because they can't see that anyway, but we want control. The Apostle Paul reminds us here in Ephesians 3, there is something better. There is something better than having the answer to every question. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The Apostle Paul, church, encourages us with something better than knowledge. That is the power of God. Do you realize that if you and I spend all of our time and all of our energy wanting answers to questions that are not being answered right now, that we are not allowing our hearts to be filled with the love of Christ and the power that God has provided us? And I know this whole year has been frustrating. It's been scary. It's been maddening. Whether you're scared or you're angry or the whole thing just makes you nervous to be around other people, or just makes you mad that people are just allowing themselves to be controlled. Freedom! It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Because both sides, any side other than what God has given us through Jesus Christ, does not matter. And if all of your energy is focused on figuring out answers to worldly questions, then you are not being filled with the gift that God has actually given us, the Spirit of Christ and the depth of God's love. This is where we are today. Do you really think if Jesus was sitting right here today and he stood up and talked to us, do you think he would say, well, Sunrise, you just hang on there and you be faithful and you just keep on going and keep praying for this world to get back to normal? Or do you think Jesus would look at us and say, there it is. It doesn't matter. You be faithful. What do you think the Lord's message to us would be today? I got to think he would look at us and say, it doesn't matter if it looks different. It doesn't matter if there's a few more obstacles. It really doesn't matter if what I told you is coming true. People are getting nasty. You don't let your heart grow cold to them. You don't go to the store and see people as an enemy for limited resources. You don't go to in public or your school or your office and see people as whether you deem them as enlightened and have actual knowledge or just mindless sheep. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What are we going to do before our Lord when we answer him, when we stand before him? Is he going to go, oh, good job, you understood the ways of the world very well? No, he's not. So whether you're right or whether I'm right or whether our opinions of how long or how bad or how good that all of this stuff that we're going through is, it does not in the end matter. God has given us a gift greater than knowledge. And just like David, you know what? I may not have the answer to the questions I would like answered, but I trust your faithfulness. I trust your salvation. I hear my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, saying to me, yeah, it's going to get bad. And I'd encourage you this afternoon, go back and read Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, it's an amazing chapter, and it's a frustrating chapter and a well-misunderstood chapter, but it's fun. He answers these questions. He begins with the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, and then he shifts a little bit and tells them what the end is going to look like. Two different stories in there. Again, why there's so much frustration and confusion about what his second coming will look like. But it's an awesome chapter. So when he comes back and he asks us, how'd you deal with 2020? How'd you deal with this year? Did you just sit there and go, well, I just can't wait for all this to be over so I can get back to what? We don't get to decide, oh, well, when my circumstances improve, then I'll be faithful. When it gets easier to share Jesus with other people, then I'll share Jesus with other people. Have we forgotten that Jesus says, look, the harvest is ripe and it's big. Not many workers. Not many people willing to do what I've told them to do. Will we leave here today? Will we go back to school and work and our lives and our family and our friends and our neighbors and just, will we just go back to tomorrow and will we just hear the news and let that dictate what we think about the day? Will we hear the news and just say, you know what, I'm just going to be frustrated again today? Or will we look above the things of this world? Because newsflash, it's all corrupted. It's all corrupted by sin. So why are you and I looking for worldly answers to worldly things? Who cares? It doesn't really matter. Circumstances were hot when Jesus was saying all this in the beginning. Okay? And you and I now find ourselves this year with circumstances that are hot. And it has been uncomfortable. That shouldn't scare us. That shouldn't scare us. That should cause us to go back to where God says, this is your power. This is your power. My love for you. This is your power. How well I take care of you. It doesn't matter if you have all the world's answers to all the questions. All of that will leave you empty compared to what God has given us. The height, the depth, the breadth, the width of how much he loves you through Jesus Christ, his Son. Church, consider yourselves empowered, because power is better than knowledge anyway. The worldly philosopher says knowledge is power. Nope. Power trumps knowledge. It just does. I mean, we see that in a negative way in the world, and hopefully you see that in your faith. Power trumps knowledge. I can walk without the answer to every question. I can walk without understanding of where this all goes, or where it's all leading, or how long, O Lord? He loves you. He has saved you from your sins. Focus on what you have, not what you don't have. And the Lord will see you through. That's our faith. That's our faith. If you need to respond this morning to the good news of Jesus, you have an opportunity. And if you just want to ask for prayers or encouragement or just need to say, you know what, I have been a little too worried about worldly things. Church, it's time for all of us to make that confession. We've been a little too worried about worldly things. Those are the questions that we've been asking, right? When will the world's circumstances change for us? And our Lord and Savior says, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Because we are living for an eternal kingdom. Earthly kingdoms come and go. Do not get wrapped up in yours or any other. Our home is with God. And from there, we await our King. That's powerful. Don't let yourself get drugged down this week into the things that everybody else is scared of or worried about. You rise above that, and then you pull people along. If you need to respond this morning, let us know. Let's stand together and sing.
Hark the gentle words of Jesus. Yeah.
Go ahead and be seated. We'll take some time this morning and talk about news and announcements and any prayer requests that we have, or just let everybody know what we need to be, what we need to remember this week. Let's keep all of our students, our teachers, and everybody in schools in our prayers. This first week was good, but the news already got it. You know, Lubbock's got a case, Friendship's got a case. So just pray for peace. Just pray for peace and trust, because it's going to happen. So we just need to trust Him through it. But let's pray for our schools and our kids, because you know our kids are, a lot of them are scared about this stuff. Unfortunately, they get their ideas from the adults around them. So there's that. So I also want us to lift up Janet. Janet's having a rough day today, but she's been praying all summer for a way to reach out to one of her grandsons who has come to Tech. And so Janet and Robert are having a dinner and a Bible study for about six kids this afternoon. And so I want to pray that she has the strength to do that, because she has been praying to reach them with the truth for a long time. And so I just want to lift them up and just ask the Lord that Bible study and that meal together will be a blessing and will open their eyes. So definitely. Yes. Yeah, no, not just today. Not just today. But I want Janet to survive today. Yes. Okay. Praise God. What else do we need to remember? Okay. Praise God. Praise God. I know she's got a smile on her face. Yeah, that's nerve-wracking, having to wait. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, okay. So she's just in a brace then? Not even a brace? Oh. Huh. Okay. Huh. I like the answer to that question, huh? Not supposed to bend that direction. That sounds like how I doctor. I don't know if that's the best thing. Yeah, exactly. Sonny always tells the story that when Carson was young, he kept on complaining about a cough, and we were just like, you know, you got asthma, you're just going to have to tough it out. And by the time we took him to the doctor, he had one lung filled with fluid and the other half filled with fluid. And the doctor's like, how long has he been having this problem? This is news to us. I don't know. Sonny felt bad for a long time, and then when Garrett broke his arm, and we made him wait about 24 hours, I'm like, you're gonna be fine, you're gonna be fine. Till the next morning when Sonny woke me up and said, you might want to take a look at his arm. I don't think he's gonna be fine. So, yeah, that's true. It doesn't have to be gushing to be an issue. So. But we just praise God for that good news for her, and we will lift her up for her arm. Anybody else? Other things?
Friday was Donna's 4-year anniversary when she broke it out. Thank God for all that he's done for her. Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Is this someone that you have direct contact with, Diane? Okay. Okay. Oh, okay. Sure. Estella? Okay. Yeah, that's Daisy Taryn, isn't it? Okay. Okay. All right, I know Bill's traveling. He's out of town this weekend, so just remember his safety and travels. Okay. All right. Well, let's close in prayer. Let's lift these up and let's go out this week walking in the power of Christ. Okay? When you find yourself just because asking those questions, those unanswered questions, when you find yourself there, stop. Stop. We have got to literally stop ourselves in our tracks and stop focusing on worldly things. That can't be our only focus about when we're going to have answers to worldly questions. All right? So refocus on what we should be. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask this morning that you bless us with your power that is greater than knowledge. We thank you, Father, for saving us from our sins. We thank you, Father, for your righteousness, your steadfast love, for the fact that you will not fail, that you will not let us down. Father, we love you so very much. And Lord, we pray and we intercede for our country, for your creation, for this world. And we ask your blessings. We ask your guidance. We ask your grace to be upon us. And Father, for us as believers, we pray that you strengthen us with faith. We pray that we will not face the things going on around us like everybody else. We pray, Father, that we will not walk in fear. Father, we love you. And we need you. Because when things get difficult and other people treat us bad and other people just get scary, we tend to think of them as those that we could never approach. I pray, Lord, that our love will not grow cold. by what's going on around us. I pray, Lord, that we will not be defeated by temporary circumstances, but that we will enjoy your eternal victory. Blessed be your name, for you are our King. You are our Lord and Master. You are our Savior. You are our God. Heavenly Father, we lift up our schools, our kids, our teachers, our administrators, our professors and staff. Bless them, Lord. Bless them as school has gotten started, as LCU, as Tech will get started this week. Just be with everybody. And we pray that, we just pray that your light will shine. Father, we lift up Robert and Janet, and we pray that you be her strength today. We pray that you bless their meal and their Bible study, that you bless the young people that they're reaching out to. We just pray that eyes will be opened, that hearts will be broken, that you will be seen. Father in heaven, we glorify your name that those girls in Santa were found. We thank you for protecting them and watching over them. Father, we pray for the precious children here and all over the world that are being mistreated, that are being abused, that are being trafficked. Father, we know that your wrath is going to come upon people that do not protect but injure or harm children, the unborn. Father, we know that your wrath is coming to burn hot against those who do evil. I pray that we will let them know. And I pray that we will invite them to find salvation just as we have in Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Rita's good news. We thank you for the calm and the peace that she can enjoy. We thank you for her chest being okay. We pray, Lord, that you protect her arm. We pray, Lord, that it will heal. Father, we thank you for Donna. We thank you for her being here for 4 years after her stroke. And we just thank you for blessing her. We ask that you continue to watch over her, that she will have the strength to be a blessing and a light to those in her family here with us at Sunrise and those all around her. Thank you for these 4 years, and we ask that you bless her today. Heavenly Father, we lift up Esther, and we pray for relief from her pain. We pray for the funding that she needs for her treatment. We pray, Father, that you bring her healing. The situation seems dire, but you are bigger than every situation. So we just ask you to act for her behalf. We ask you to heal her. Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with Estella as she comes to her final days in the flesh. We just pray that she is prepared to meet you. Be with Daisy and her family right now and comfort their hearts. Please watch over Bill as he travels and just bring him home safe and well from his trip and continue to just strengthen his back. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Gary's birthday coming up. We thank you for seeing him through so much this year. And we're so very grateful that he's with us, and that he's there for his family. And we just pray that you continue to strengthen him each and every day and just bless him with a good day. We love you very much, Father. We thank you for hearing our prayers. Guide our steps as we walk with Jesus. We pray in his holy name. Amen.